It's movie time with Kevin Stein.
I tell you what, this is how much we love you, China, and everyone else who listens. We are here on a holiday. Oops, and I keep shorting out the headphones. There we go. Okay. We're here on a holiday on Good Friday because we are that dedicated to Movie Time with Kevin Stein. But it's not just Movie Time with Kevin Stein today.
Nope.
Kevin, why don't you introduce our guests?
It's Movie Time with my father, Craig Stein, myself, and you, Angie.
Uh-huh, but there's other people here, too. It's like
and,
a whole Stein
I can't forget,
posse.
I got my daughter here and my two sons. They're in the studio with their grandpa, giving him moral support.
They're doing a great job.
It's first time on the radio, I think, right?
It's my first time on the radio, probably my last. Kevin's giving me the rules, though. The basic rules he told me are never to interrupt him when he's speaking over. I said what he's saying is always important.
I did not.
Yeah, you did.
Whatever.
And you also said that we're live and try not to cuss like a sailor the way Angie does.
It's true. That FCC always getting in the way.
He said those are the only rules, really. And they put me in a little room here with a little chair. They're standing up, and they got me in this little room with children. It's like the children's table at dinner.
You've been exiled, yeah.
Yeah.
I've always said this show should be called Movie Time with Annie Stein because we're all pretty much the same. And my dad is the ultimate movie fan, so we had to bring him on.
It's true.
And the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, so I thought I'd showcase both of
them. I'm honored.
Fanaticism.
I got to tell you the first time, I got to tell you where Kevin's history goes back, if I could take a minute, when he was just a little boy, still in diapers. He was still in diapers. I think he was about 14 years old, actually.
I'm sorry I brought you.
Yeah,
back.
I thought you might.
I should have known better.
Yeah, he was was a little boy in diapers, and I took him to the movies and gave him some popcorn, and his mother said, he'll never make it. He'll cry, and he'll just fuss, and it'll be hard. And he got him a bucket of popcorn, and he sat there through a whole movie, and I brought him home. He was shocked. He loved it. He cried when I tried to take him out of there. And then I took him to he was still this young kid, and I took him to a double feature, 3D, and I taped glasses to him, 3D glasses with scotch tape. He was so small.
So they wouldn't come off?
And he made it through Creature from the Black Lagoon, and it came from outer space. And
old school.
I am very impressed.
And he just ran away with it, and till the point where somebody wants to ask him, don't you have any standards for what you watch, Kevin? Because he loved everything. He says, I most certainly do. He said, it has to be in color.
But I changed my mind since then.
Yeah,
good,
exactly.
Good.
So basically he has no standards either, but he's always loved movies. And as his dad, I wanted to come in and just kind of tell you a little bit about his history and why he's so compulsive and fanatical about
it. I like that. That's nice. I love those little behind-the-scenes insights.
Well, he's been waiting for Scorsese Day. I wanted to bring him on for one show, and we were thinking, what show would that be? And we're together huge Scorsese fans.
It's true. And I'll just admit right now that I can just tell you I don't know as much about him as you do, so I am happy to defer to you. I'm a fan, definitely a fan, but I think that you guys are like diehard fans of where if we were at a concert, you'd be the people waiting out by the tour bus to wave hi.
I think I would be, yeah.
Yeah, he's just got that certain genre that he works with that's just perfection.
Yeah.
When he makes a movie, it's just...
Anytime he ventures out of the crime, though, area, it goes a step down, even though it's highly skilled.
Yeah,
though.
It's just to that one genre, he's got it nailed and 100%. He knows that neighborhood. He grew up in those neighborhoods. He knows those people. He captures them. When you see him, you realize these are real people that are a little bit nutty. A lot like Kevin.
Yep. Oh, we should also mention we're doing a video podcast today, too,
so
you can see us all. Let's all wave hello. Hi.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yay.
By the way, Kevin said if I came on, I would get there's a free makeover after the show. Is that correct? Because that gave me a coupon.
Well, I had to tell him whatever to get him to come on.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it.
We'll get your hair dyed or something. That'll be fun for you, manicure.
Yeah, I just see my eyebrows black. That's about it.
Why don't we start with sort of a quasi-quiz for my dad.
Okay, just to prove how diehard of a Scorsese fan he is?
No, these are simple questions. These are easy.
It's kind of a rite of initiation in a way, to.
You can't come
we've
higher
done
without
this.
A quiz.
We got to haze you if we're going to put you on the air.
I got to say up front, I've gotten so old now that they ask Jeopardy questions, and 2 days later, I wake up in bed and go, Christopher Walken. It always takes 2 weeks for it to come to my mind. It's in there. It's just slow.
Well, if you miss them, we'll just assume that after the show's over, you'll have this revelation.
I don't like the competition. I've heard Kevin.
We're not competing, though.
No,
you're
it's
being
just
against
you.
Yourself.
I see, but I know you've competed with Tony before, and you've told me that he's really an evil person, so that kind of scares me.
He's not evil. Yeah. He helped us get you on the air today.
Oh, he did? He
told me which cables to plug in where.
Kevin told me he wears the Green Goblin uniform off the campus. So that's all I know about
I haven't seen it, but it wouldn't surprise me one bit, to be honest with you.
Okay, I'm ready for a quiz.
Okay, these are simple ones. All right. First one is who are the two actors that the two actors that Scorsese has worked with the most?
He's worked with Robert De Niro.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Lately, he's working with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yep, those are the two right there.
Yep.
Okay. Second question. So good job. Name how many movies has he done with Robert De Niro?
Wow. Let me count.
Oh, well, I'm going to have you name them. So let's do it.
Go ahead and do that. We'll keep track.
Okay,
let's keep a tally for you.
Let's keep track. I'm thinking Mean Streets.
Okay.
It's like their first one.
Okay.
And then I'm thinking Taxi Driver.
Yep.
And I'm thinking Goodfellas.
Okay.
I'm thinking Casino.
Okay.
Raging Bull.
Yep.
You're more than halfway there. Is that a good hint?
I'm more than halfway there. Okay. Let's see. I don't know what hint that means. Let's see.
All right. Let me give you some hints.
Yeah, give me a hint.
Okay. How about...
It's in there. It's just going to... I'm going to wake up and say Christopher.
How about this one?
Huh?
Counselor.
Oh, yeah. Cape Fear.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about this one? Jerry Lewis.
Oh, Kings of King Comedy.
Okay. I think you missed...
There's one more.
There's one more.
Yep.
And it's a toughie. To be totally honest with you, I wouldn't have gotten it either.
Let me guess it.
I wouldn't have gotten it without IMDb.
Aliens 2. I don't know.
No, it's New York, New York.
Oh, New York.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known
it was
that.
It was up to me.
Yeah.
Is that New the York, one that has Liza Minnelli in it, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good job. Yeah. Okay.
And then, Joel Grey.
And then name the Leo DiCaprio movies.
Oh, okay. Let's see. The Departed.
Yep.
Help Me.
Who are you asking for help?
Everybody.
God?
Yeah.
God's a huge Scorsese fan.
Oh, I'm so terrible at this. Let's see.
Departed,
I'm thinking of. I know. Oh, Gangs in New York.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
Got three of them. I don't know how many there are.
How many are there?
There are three that he's done so far, and they've got three more in the works, if you can believe that.
Oh, boy. And how about...
with Leo?
Yeah.
What else did he do with Leo?
No, there's another one that he did.
No, there's another one with Leo that's already been done.
Yeah.
Think outside of the crime genre.
It's not a mobster movie.
No.
Is it?
But it is biopic.
It's the one where he's, I can't think of the name of it, the one where he's writing the checks, right?
That's Spielberg directed that.
Catch Me If You Can.
I'll give it to you.
Whisper
it's Howard Hughes.
Oh, The Aviator.
Yeah.
Oh, I always... I always bypass that one a little bit.
That's okay.
Because he wasn't a gangster. It just didn't...
Well, he's got new ones coming up. It's it's Shutter Island, some kind of like mystery suspense kind of one. I don't even care as long as it's a Scorsese movie. And then they have The Wolf of Wall Street. They have no description on it yet. It's
the
just
Wolf
like been announced.
Oh.
It sounds good, though.
The Madoff story.
And then The Rise of Theodore Roosevelt.
Oh, I'm excited for that one.
Yeah.
That one's going to be cool.
So he's catching up.
Walks off.
He's going to catch up with... But, you know, De Niro and DiCaprio.
Yeah, they don't sound like gangsters.
Okay, here's a quiz. This is a spontaneous quiz question. I'm thinking De Niro and DiCaprio are his most preferred actors. What movie has Leonardo DiCaprio been in with Robert De Niro?
Oh.
Ooh, Angie's having a hard time with that, too. don't cuss Angie.
I'll try to refrain.
I heard her mouth.
She was saying something like, Robert De Niro.
I know.
He was with Robert De Niro, and it wasn't.
He's a young boy.
Oh, I know what it was. Not the last Boy Scout. That was the one. It was
Bruce Willis.
I told you I'm getting old. I'm over 40
this,
now. This Boy's Life.
There you go.
That's
good
it.
Job. Good
yeah,
job.
Yeah, that's right. I remember he was the Boy Scout. This Boy's Life.
Okay.
That was a great movie. Good, yeah, excellent movie.
You did fine.
It's all in there. It just doesn't come out quickly. It takes me 2 days. I wake up.
All right. In my opinion, and we'll see if you guys agree.
Okay.
Maybe we should say this for the end, but I can't wait. I want to do it at the
do
very
it.
End. Best Scorsese movie ever.
Easy.
Oh, Goodfellas.
Exactly.
I love that we're all on the same page on that one.
Okay.
Maybe the best we ever made.
I think so. Yeah. That's my
favorite. It's amazing. Yeah. That was actually the first Scorsese movie I saw, too, because I was 10 years old when that came out.
Did you watch it when you were 10?
No. I watched it after Pulp Fiction, so I was probably about 13, 14.
You're as bad as I am.
Yeah. It was my older brothers.
Oh, geez.
Boy. You got no standards, these two. Well, at least it was in color.
Why do you think we've bonded? We've had so many conversations.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when I was 8, I watched this.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Let's play a couple of clips.
Okay, which one? Oh, okay, from Goodfellas then, because that's what we're talking about.
Just so you know, clip number one there, it took me probably 30 minutes to edit this.
Which is why
I think I did a good job, though.
But you said Angie could fill in the blanks for us.
Yeah.
I'm sure that I could.
She'll probably mouth going, but
FCC.
Cue it up.
Well, I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Not just... You know how you tell a story? What?
No, no, I don't know. You said it. How do I know? You said I'm funny. How am I funny? What is so funny about me? Tell me. Tell me what's funny.
Get out of here, Tommy.
I almost had him.
I did pretty well.
That was
really
good editing.
That play on the Disney Channel.
That was excellent. High five for editing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of tough.
I struggled, and believe me, I have my children here with me, so there was extra pressure. When that clip was playing, I was sweating. I was like, oh my gosh, please don't let me have missed something. But I got him.
Yeah, I really actually love that scene so much because it's one of those of where it's so tense. You're like, oh, oh.
Well,
it's
because,
just like so nerve-wracking right then.
Pesci, throughout the entire movie, just flies off the handle.
Yeah.
So you know it's in his character. Scorsese almost sets you up with a consistent pattern of behavior, and then he changes it. That's why you're so nervous.
Yes, very much so.
He's such a small guy, but he's so terrifying. I don't know. He's like 5 foot. And when you see him off, when he's not acting, when he's in person, but then when he plays that role, he can kill you in a minute without even
thinking. Yeah, like my cousin Vinny, that character, I'd go up and give him a big hug.
Exactly. Oh,
yeah. But the guy that's standing there with a pen ready to stick you.
Oh,
yeah.
Casino.
Wait, we're
exactly.
not there yet.
We're not there.
Well, he's foreshadowing.
Let's do. Okay. I really like the voiceover work in Goodfellas and Casino.
Yeah,
so,
and that's one thing that he does a lot. That Scorsese does that I love. He can use the voiceover so well.
Yep.
Okay, well, yeah, let's go ahead and check out some voiceover.
Jimmy had never asked me to whack somebody before, but now he's asking me to go down to Florida and do a hit with Anthony. That's when I knew I would never have come back from Florida alive.
I don't know. There's kind of a resonance to the voice, and it really moves the story forward. I love when Casino started up, and I realized it was the same exact voiceover as Goodfellas. I got goosebumps.
That's what I loved about Goodfellas is the narration, a true story. Let me tell you my life story.
Yeah,
kind of thing. Here, I started out as a young boy, and you just get the flow of it. And I don't know if a lot of people are aware. Goodfellas is a true story. Henry Hill.
Yeah.
The story of Henry Hill. When that came out, Henry Hill was under. What do they call it? Government.
He was in the Witness Protection Program.
He was appearing on Geraldo.
He was on David Letterman, and David Letterman's like, "What the heck are you doing here?"
But it just shows.
I'm not sure how good our security is around here.
But it just shows you his personality in real life. No fear.
No fear at all.
Yeah, there was actually a thing that I saw too in Entertainment Weekly that it was kind of an anniversary edition of Goodfellas, of where they had this whole photo spread of Ray Liotta and the real Henry Hill posing with the cars and everything, and just posing in this whole article about it that was phenomenal. I totally cut it out and kept it because it was a great piece.
Collector's piece.
Yeah.
But I like with the voiceover, I knew within 10 seconds that I was going to love Casino. And it's a 3-hour movie. I just knew it.
Well, since we're talking about Casino, do we want to play a line from Casino too?
Let's do one more voiceover. That's number 5.
Okay.
I like this one.
Good old voiceovers once again.
The boxmen are watching the dealers. The floormen are watching the boxmen. The pit bosses are watching the floormen. The shift bosses are watching the pit bosses, The casino manager is watching the shift bosses. I'm watching the casino manager, and the eye in the sky is watching us all.
Everyone's watching everybody.
Yep.
I like it.
Let's jump right to the next clip. I like that one. Let's go to number four there. Is it okay for children to hear violence but not see violence?
Well, they don't have headphones on.
I guess that's
on.
My call. I think they can't. I don't think they can even hear it because sometimes we have guests in here and they can't hear the.
Yeah,
clip.
You're. Yeah.
Okay. We'll do
standards.
It then.
We'll continue on with your children.
All right, keep going.
Oh, it's there's the Cheaters Justice one.
Yeah, it's a scene where they said this guy has been cheating with his pals for over a year now. He's been flipping chips and stuff through his hands, and then Robert De Niro asks him, "Can you do that with your left hand?" And he's like, "No, just my right." "So you're right-handed?" And the guy says, "Yeah, I'm right-handed." And then he brings this guy and he hits every one of his fingers on his right hand with a hammer.
Oh.
And then De Niro says to him, "Now you're going to have to learn with your left."
That, by the way, I got to mention, is also a true story. That this scene. The guy's name was Roth. It was
Rothstein, Sam Rothstein.
Yeah, he ran the Stardust, yep. And so they kind of based it and changed the names to protect the innocent. But
yeah.
But it was everything that Scorsese just stories about true people that
sometimes not very nice people either.
Live on the dark side there.
Okay, well, Goodfellas and Casino were true stories then, or based in truth. What about Taxi Driver? Is that real? Because I kind of hope not.
I think it is.
Is it really?
Based on a true character.
I think it became, who's the guy that shot, remember I have
his
Well,
yeah, partner. The guy tried to shoot Reagan.
John
yeah, that
Hinckley.
Came afterwards.
Afterwards.
So John Hinckley based his life on that, I think.
He said afterwards that he was a huge fan of that.
So that one was just a flip then. It inspired
bad, yeah.
real life.
Well, in the movie... not only is the character Travis Bickle, not as only is he just totally going down this spiral toward insanity, he actually in the movie tries to assassinate a senator. So I think that's where John Hinckley got that.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes people start imitating, what is that?
Life imitating art, I guess.
That's what it is. Yeah, yeah, we see that a lot. And so they always worry about what's put on film that people imitate. But
yeah, but there's so many things in film that if you imitated them, we'd have a disastrous world. I don't know if those rare times when
Terminator,
that
Alien ones, too, that could really affect the world.
Well, I even remember when Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came out in the early 90s that kids kept going in the sewers in New York to try and find them.
That was also based on a true story.
I sure hope so. In my dream of dreams.
So I know that's kind of a cop-out to say my two favorites are Goodfellas and Casino. I consider those almost the same movie. Like a two-part series, even though they're different characters,
they're such a similar vein.
Way. And Siskel, when Siskel and Ebert were on, he slammed it. He's like, "This is breaking no new ground.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it."
And Ebert's and he gives it a thumbs down.
Oh my!
And
God.
Ebert's like, "Even if you didn't think it was as good, I mean, it's still better than most of the stuff out there.
Just hit his thumb with the hammer.
Not even to give it a marginal thumbs up." You know?
Well, they got to the point where they were so analytical. I remember watching Siskel and Ebert, and they would watch something like that, said, "I've seen that before," and they had a show on duck hunting. And they said, "Oh, it's innovative. I've never seen anything that a documentary."
Yeah,
a duck
boring realized, as heck.
Yeah, I think Kevin and Angie are starting to get into that area, but that's okay.
I'd like to watch the same movie over and over again if it's good.
If it's good, yeah.
I'll rent you this duck hunting movie then.
When we did the sports movies last week, I mean, all of those have the same formula, but we watch them over and over.
I've
again.
Seen Casino many, many times. It's just
and it's a 3 hour. So that's saying a lot. It's a 3 hour movie, and
every time it gets better and you learn more, you see the nuances.
Amazing. Okay, Dad, why don't you give us, what's your favorite one besides those two?
I loved Raging Bull.
Ooh, okay, boxing. That was a good one. I loved it because it was black and white.
Kevin wouldn't
well,
see
good
it.
Thing I changed. I actually didn't see that until I was an adult. It took me a while to come around.
Yeah, just out of diapers.
But that's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah. We do have a line
from
that,
though. My dad's
a
fan of the running gag.
Yeah.
It goes on and on. Okay, play
this
clip.
All right. Yeah, let's listen to this clip from Raging Bull, then.
I don't think there's any
then.
Profanity in this.
Okay, if there is, I'll just drop it real quick again. My finger's on the slide, FCC, I promise.
Oh, jeez.
What you hit me in the face?
What?
I want you to hit me in the face.
Forget about it.
Joey, I want you to hit me in the face. Go ahead. All right, take your best.
I said forget about it. I ain't doing it.
Come on, we have fights all the time. When you're worried now, you're going to hit me in the face? Hit me in the face. Go ahead.
No, are you afraid? Afraid of what?
Come on, I'll be a little fun. Hit me. Take your best shot, man.
Come on, Jack, huh? You're going to be a real jerk. You want me to punch you in the face.
Hey, Joey, did I not tell you just to do it? Now I'm telling you, you got to do it.
Just punch him in the face. He wants you to.
I know. It's just compelling. I want to punch De Niro in the face. He said, I'll do it.
Forget about it.
Oh, yeah, I like the forget about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Those two together, you know, they're just, the chemistry is so amazing.
Some people don't like that movie, though. I don't know why.
It's really good.
It's,
well, it's very stylistic, though.
It's depressing. You know, you see this downhill spiral of somebody, but it just captures.
Uh-huh.
It just captures his life in the title, Raging Bull, that he had this rage in him and how he took it into the ring, but how it overflowed into his life with his wife. He was abusive to his wife.
Oh, yeah.
He was jealous of her. Joe Pesci took beatings. And in the end, he was even abused himself. Do you remember the scene where they throw him in the end where he puts on all the weight?
Uh-huh.
And they throw him in the cell, the jail cell. He starts banging his fist in his head.
Oh, yeah.
That hurts my hands.
Oh, yeah. He was just, it just showed that he raged over everything.
He was a raging bull.
That was a working title.
That would have been a good title.
Yeah.
I think maybe I'm wrong. You can correct me on this, but that was probably the first movie that really generated the discussion about the method actor, as far as I can remember, because
that would make sense.
Because De Niro put on so much weight, he won the Oscar for that, and it seemed like a lot of other actors were sort of modeling his mentality toward film. Like, I'm going to become this character, you know, from head to toe.
Which goes back to Godfather Marlon Brando with the
cotton in his cheeks.
And he was a method actor. They all went to that same actor studio.
Yeah.
And, he actually put the weight on, changed his whole physical appearance. And then I noticed also another De Niro movie, without skipping ahead, with Cape Fear. Do you remember how muscular he got? He went from this fat Jake LaMotta to this buff, you know, tattooed crazy man.
He was scary in that.
In Cape Fear, right?
Yeah.
And in a totally different way.
He changes his body for the character.
Yeah, that movie scared me. That was one of the earlier movies that I saw from him, too. But I loved it at the same time. I was so fascinated but so horrified at the same time.
I think it didn't do as well with the critics because not only was it a remake, but De Niro, his performance was sort of over the top a little bit.
I'm a big fan of Robert Mitchum. And, you know, he was originally played that role. And I love that movie. And when Robert De Niro did that, I thought it was excellent, and it varied a little bit. So I look at it both as two different movies.
Well, play the clip and let our audience see what they think of it.
Now, this speech is one of the creepiest speeches ever, if it's the one that I'm thinking of.
It's probably not. To set up the context, Nick Nolte is getting really afraid of Robert De Niro's character, as he should. And so he sends these three thugs with tire irons or something to beat the heck out of him. And Robert De Niro ends up taking them all out. And then Nick Nolte, he hears Nick Nolte hiding behind some barrels. And then he starts talking to him.
Okay, I know
it's really
this one. This
creepy.
Is a good one.
I ain't no white trash, but I'm better than you all. I can outlearn you. I can outread you. I can outthink you, and I can out-philosophize you, and I'm going to outlast you. You think a couple of whacks to my good old boy gut's going to get me down? It's going to take a lot more than that, counselor, to prove you're better than me.
I like that.
That gives me makes me a little shivery,
even just that.
I like it, though.
It's such a character.
I'm not saying I don't like it. I'm just saying, You always try to put yourself in the shoes of the person that hates it and try to figure out why. And I think maybe some people didn't buy into it.
You know what's so terrifying? What's terrifying, though, is where this guy's a maniac, and then people say, we'll take care of it. They send three people to take care of it, and they don't.
Yeah.
And then you think, now what do I do?
Yeah,
exactly.
That didn't work.
Yeah.
Whoops. I'll just take him out myself.
I remember that being terrified. Hey.
Yeah, but what's interesting is De Niro always kind of plays a certain character. And like you were saying, he's sort of like, not to use a kind of stereotypical term, but he comes off as sort of white trash, you know?
Yeah.
Because he says, you think a couple whacks to my good old boy gut or something like that? That sounded so, you know, different from his other characters.
Well, some of his lines, though, are still really memorable. Like the Are You Talking to Me line, a lot of people don't even know what that's from, but they know it. And they know that it's him, but they can identify it. Right. Do we want to play that clip while we're talking about that?
This is classic.
Yeah, from Taxi Driver. So this is him in his mirror and everything.
You talking to me? You talking to me? You talking to me? Well, then who the hell else are you talking to? You talking to me? Well, I'm the only one here. do you think you're talking to? Oh, yeah? Huh? Okay.
Yeah, it's one of those speeches that just is so memorable, even if you don't know where it's from. You
well,
know that
some
it's
him. Some parents tell their kids like bedtime stories. My dad would tell me stories like, "Do you know where that scene originated?" So, Dad, why don't you tell the story of how that scene came about? Because it's a good one.
Oh yeah, go for it.
You remember?
Tell us.
Well, I don't know what you're asking.
How that was sort of improv'd, and then they filmed it.
Oh,
you
I didn't
told
know
me
that.
This, and then you forgot. I was thinking, he's getting older.
I was thinking the improv with Midnight Cowboy where Dustin Hoffman got hit by a cab and it was in there.
Well, they've done that in a lot of movies, but apparently...
That's what it is with his method, though.
Apparently he was practicing.
That's why
there are all the weird sounds and it doesn't... It sounds weird, right, when he's doing that with all the clutter and everything. That's because he's practicing.
It's a natural thing. We've all done that. Like you're going to go on a date, when you're younger and you get in front of the mirror, whatever you do, you have different things that you practice. Practice a speech. I practice coming here quite a bit.
Good job.
But he was kind of doing the practice. Are you talking to me?
Well, it might be like a myth or something. But I remember you told me this. Maybe you forgot. And then I read it some other place. I don't know if it's true, but the rumor is
I could have made it up, too.
You might have made it up.
I lie to you a lot.
Whatever. Just so you know, he's not the only person that I heard this from.
Yeah.
You do have some credibility being my
while.
Father.
Yeah, I just...
But I did hear... There is a rumor that Scorsese just saw him doing that and thought it looked really good and gave hand signals to his cameraman.
Just
to
keep filming
this.
It. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. And it ended up in the movie.
It's the biggest scene in the movie. That's the one... There's always some classic scene. That's it.
It's perfect. I love it.
I like
Maybe
it
we should not make this the Robert De Niro show, even
okay,
though...
Yeah, like,
oh, I, yeah, I just realized that. Because he's the actor.
I love Robert De Niro.
I just realized we got the wrong...
You can't talk about Scorsese
because
talking about
that's
De Niro.
His actor, right? Robert De Niro.
Let's go DiCaprio now.
Okay.
Okay, favorite DiCaprio collaboration with Scorsese?
Mine's Departed.
Mine is actually Departed also. You're going to say Gangs of New York, aren't you, Kevin?
It was good, but it's no Departed.
No, the thing is, the story, the execution of the entire film, Departed, is a greater work of art. That's why I got the... But for some reason, I like the acting better in Gangs of New York. So I like DiCaprio and Daniel Day-Lewis's performance better than a single performance in The Departed, but I think Departed is a better film.
I think I can agree with that.
Because
I'll have to
every
sleep
time,
on that, and then 2 days later, I'll take Christopher Walken. But
that's right, Christopher Walken.
I think Daniel Day-Lewis's performance in Gangs of New York is one of the best performances of the last 20 years.
Oh yeah,
I couldn't believe it did not win the Oscar.
He's another terrifying character with his knife, the butcher.
Yeah, play. I like his voice and the authority with which he speaks. Play this clip.
The one with for the Rumble.
It's the speech before the Rumble with Day-Lewis and Liam Neeson.
Okay.
Kind of dialogue.
That's my challenge. By the ancient laws of combat, we are met at this chosen ground to settle for good and all. Who holds sway over the 5 points? Us natives, born rightwise to this fine land, or the foreign hordes defiling it?
The ancient laws of combat, I accept the challenge of the so-called natives. You plague our people at every turn. But from this day out, you shall plague us no more. For let it be known that the hand that tries to strike us from this land shall be swiftly cut down.
Don't you love it?
Yes.
I don't know why, but the part that gives me goosebumps is when he says, settle for good law.
Yeah. He was just playing himself in that. That's the real Dan Day-Lewis. That
no, it's not. I've seen him in interviews.
That's his real self. The other part is acting.
He's kind of a jerk in real life.
No, he's not.
He kind of is.
No, he's not.
I still love him.
Oh, my left foot.
Whatever. Did you see the I even played this for you, Angie, to try to change your mind. The clip where he goes on Oprah and she's asking him questions about There Will Be Blood. And he says, I feel really uncomfortable talking about this right now. because of Heath Ledger.
Yeah,
and then he
that
says,
was nice.
He says, if I didn't know him, but I imagine I would have liked him. I really admired his work and would like to see what he'd do in the future. And then he started to cry. I'm like, this guy
see,
can't be
that's
a
nice. Actor. But that's
whatever.
That's extenuating circumstances.
No, if he did not fool me. He's sincere. Whatever.
Anyway, I got to just tell you what. I got to say something for your mom.
You're pushing my buttons.
I'll tell you
now.
What. Yeah, I know. I've been doing all
you're
my
rotten.
Life.
I love Daniel Day-Lewis.
I have. I got to tell you about Daniel Day-Lewis, though, just for your mom. What she didn't like about Gangs of New York, she thought he was the most handsome guy in Last of the Mohicans.
Oh,
and then
he
came.
Guy.
And I said,
he was
she said,
hot.
Yeah, she says, oh, Daniel Day-Lewis. I heard about this Hispanic guy on campus. I don't want to get into that.
last week.
Yeah, but I. She said he's so handsome. She just couldn't get over him and his voice, and that was such a romantic movie. Then she found out he was in Gangs of New York, and I took her to see that. She had her eyes closed. He had this fake nose.
Uh-huh.
So that's what she didn't like about it. She just didn't like his character.
She wants him to be Hawkeye. In
yeah,
movie.
And it didn't happen. So it was such a violent movie. By the way, Gangs of New York, really, that's not a true story, but that time period is a true story.
They talked about the historical accuracy, and it's only about half true,
the
probably.
The Dead Rabbits, and the Boss Tweed period. Mm-hmm. So you
but Bill the Butcher was based on a true character, though.
Yeah, it was actually a baker.
No,
and,
it wasn't.
Bill the Baker?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
He
it
used to attack people with baking powder.
He wasn't. He really was a butcher.
Yeah, he was a butcher, and he was scary. But you know, if you were bringing back to Scorsese, you look at how he captures everything about gangs and mobs. And so what does he do? He goes back to the beginning of gangs in New York at the beginning of that. And I think that's wonderful that
don't
he said, I want to catch that and show how they evolved into Italian mobs.
Yeah. Now I'm looking for his future
mobs.
Gangs or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, gangs.
Sci-fi gangs.
Yeah,
well,
sci-fi gangs.
Yeah.
Gangs in outer space.
Yeah. Oh, they've already done that a few times, I think.
It'll be like Rollerball with gangs.
Yeah, but
I'll tell you one other thing that I do like about Scorsese, too, though, is that he has these phenomenal movies, but he also does other things, too. Like, he does cameos in his movies, and he does some of the commercials, and does some other things that are a little more lighthearted. I know we were talking yesterday, Kevin, about how he even had his little cameo in Shark Tale.
Yeah.
And that was hilarious.
I couldn't find a clip. I guess people don't
like
that.
Oh, I didn't
like
even know he was in.
He was in Shark Tale.
Yeah, he was one of the fish in Shark Tale, and he even had the big furry eyebrows and the glasses
and
everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you knew it was.
It was awesome. It was him. You knew he was him.
And then I got my dad into the show Entourage, but he has only watched two seasons of it. But later on, Scorsese comes in and makes an appearance. And
it's like a living legend.
I have the clip, but I don't think we should play it. I don't want to ruin it for my dad. But Scorsese does come into Entourage, which is really interesting.
You don't want to spoil it for your dad, eh?
No, I don't, because you're three seasons away from to
something interesting about Scorsese. I want to tell you is he's only 5'4". He's very diminutive.
He's shorter than me.
Yeah, he's very small. But I noticed he finds a very small actor in Joe Pesci. It makes him this monstrous.
Maybe that's a good point. Maybe he felt inadequate growing up.
But he makes this is the toughest guy I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's like, watch, size doesn't matter.
Oh, and it doesn't. Yeah.
Well, he always has weapons, though, too.
Well, that
so
can
remember
help.
The line from Capone that you always tell me you can get further with a kind word gun than just a kind word.
Oh, yes.
He sort of has a similar attitude about the weapons, like, I'm much tougher with a pen in my hand. But that's a good segue from the height thing into maybe some other unknown Scorsese
trivia things.
Do you remember you're talking about guns, so remember he kicked that guy to death in that they put in the trunk in
Goodfellas. Right.
And then he went to eat at the mother's house. And you know who that mother was? That was Martin Scorsese's real life
mother. That's true.
Or his wife?
No, Joe Pesci's. Oh, his mom played Joe Pesci's mom in Goodfellas.
That's really Martin Scorsese. So his mom's in that, too.
Yeah. I like that line in Goodfellas where he comes up and to take the girl out on a date. And she says, so I hear you're Jewish. And he goes, just the good half. That's like one of my favorite lines. But that was a trivia item that we had on there too, which is interesting. But some other trivia maybe is Brian De Palma introduced De Niro to Scorsese. So thank you, Brian De Palma.
Oh, good job.
We might even forgive you for Mission to Mars because of that.
That was a great movie.
What?
I give it 1 star.
Oh. That's more stars than I gave it. Did you know he also directed the Michael Jackson video Bad?
That is my favorite bit of
trivia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it was like 16 minutes long, and it was in black and white and color, so Kevin didn't watch the black and white half.
No.
But they always just showed the color part on TV.
He edited everything but the profanity out of it.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. So he's even buddies with Michael.
In terms of, I got some rankings where he ranks, I know this isn't the most prestigious, but Total Film Magazine has him ranked the second best director of all time behind Hitchcock and Spielberg.
Wow.
Which I thought was interesting because those are my top.
Wait, the second best behind, that makes him third.
No, and in front
of Spielberg. They were tied at first?
No, I know, that was confusing.
It was.
Hitchcock is first, Scorsese is second, and Spielberg is third.
Ah.
Okay.
And those are my top three.
I was thinking Hitchcock. You said, who do you think the greatest director? I'd say Hitchcock really captured it.
I think Total Film Magazine got that right. Entertainment Weekly, something that all three of us read.
Yes.
Okay. They have him number 4. And I was like, oh my gosh, number 4?
The
interesting thing about that is the top three, and I don't even have the top three, but they said the top three are no longer living directors. So they have him ranked as the highest currently working living director.
Okay.
Was Spielberg wasn't in the top three?
No.
Huh.
Because Spielberg is still alive.
Yeah. So who, do you remember who they were? So is Hitchcock?
It's got to be Hitchcock.
Who the other two?
And maybe, I don't know, maybe it's John Ford or... I
That's
don't know.
Possible.
Scorsese is a huge fan of John Ford and Westerns. And he said in a couple of his interviews, he tries to make his gangster movies sort of have a similarity to those old school Westerns.
I love old Westerns.
But they're gangster style Westerns, which is interesting. A couple other things. He's one of 50 people barred from entering Tibet because of Kundun.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were upset about that one.
John Woo dedicated his film The Killer to Scorsese in the credits. Most people didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that.
And here's one more that I think is interesting. For 30 years, he's wanted to make this movie, but it hasn't happened.
Which one?
Okay, he wants to make a biopic of Dean Martin.
Oh, Dean Martin. I want this to happen. I was reading this, too.
And they said it won't happen because he has this ultimate dream cast list.
Oh, and it really is.
And he won't budge on it.
Who plays Dean Martin?
Let me tell you. He's got Tom Hanks as Dean Martin.
I can't see it.
And then he's got Jim Carrey as Jerry Lewis.
Yes.
And then
that would work.
Yes.
He's got John Travolta as Frank Sinatra.
That I disagree
with. That would be
interesting.
I love Frank.
But the rest of
them. Yeah. Hugh Grant as Peter Lawford.
Uh-huh. That would work.
Yep.
And Adam Sandler as Joey Bishop.
And
wow. That's perfect.
I'm okay with that.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
I just can't see Dean Martin.
The rumor is that they keep trying to get him to trade one or two
Dean
out.
Martin,
and he will not
Dean
do
Martin
it.
Dean Martin had this Italian, handsome, the way he carried it. Tom Hanks doesn't have that look to me.
No, I don't think so. But I thought the
Adam who played Dean? My mind's blank. And they had the movie, my mind's blank. Who played Dean Martin? He was perfect.
In which movie?
It was the Rat Pack movie. Can you think of it? Who was it?
It's the one that came out on like HBO,
hey, there's
right?
A guy that you said used to remind you of me, the actor. What's his name? Do you remember?
I didn't say that. Other people say
But what is the guy? Not John Lovett.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
John Lovett. No.
There's another one. I can't think. He's an Italian guy. I can't remember. I'm sorry I did that. But he was a good cast.
I have no idea.
Not Tom Hanks, though. I'd have to give Martin Scorsese a call. Hey, Martin.
I know,
what do you think?
Marty, you're wrong.
Marty
yeah.
Pence.
Yeah. Well, I have two quotes that I want to share of things that I saw that I thought were really fun. One of the things, and going back to our sports show, he says, anything with a ball, no good. Good. I like that. And I was like, so he's talking like hockey or something, or cheerleading maybe.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I had to go back to last week a little
bit. Yeah, don't talk about
that. But this one that I think is definitely represented in like just about all of his movies too. He says, my whole life has been movies and religion. That's it. Nothing else.
Yeah, he did The Last Temptation of Christ.
Yeah.
He likes religion. He kind of in a morbid sort of way too. Even that's like
interesting. With all his interest in religion,
mm-hmm.
play this quote. You got to play this quote from The Departed, this, number 12, okay? And listen to what he says about, the character says about religion.
Okay.
I don't want to be a product of my environment. I want my environment to be a product of me. Years ago, we had the church. That was only a way of saying we had each other. The Knights of Columbus were real headbreakers, true guineas. They took over their piece of the city. 20 years after an Irishman couldn't get a job, we had the presidency. May rest in peace. That's what the niggas don't realize.
Kevin!
I got one thing against the black chappies. It's this. No one gives it to you. You have to take it.
That's his character. His character is in a turf
Technically,
war.
Technically, it's not a cuss word, but that was a bad one to include.
It's not a cuss word, and it's a character.
Okay.
Utterance.
We don't approve of this character.
Well, yeah.
Okay, we're not advocating
that word.
And we're saying that was bad.
Scorsese's not
bad.
A great actor, a bad character.
Bad character, and I think that was fine.
And
I go on the record. What do you think? Break the tie on this one.
What was the question?
Should I have cut that word out
yes.
of the clip?
FCC?
Well, wait a minute.
You know
Angie,
say that?
Put the knife away, and I'll answer that.
Okay. Or the pen.
I had to put it in.
Pen.
It's part of the deal.
But they what's interesting is he says, I know it was kind of a lengthy clip to make one small point, but he says, we had religion, which says we just had each other.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind
it
of...
sounded like you've been there.
Yeah, it was mm-hmm. interesting. Like, he kind of... You know, saying that the religion didn't maybe serve much of a function for them. You know, they relied on each other, not the church.
You wonder what Martin Scorsese feels about religion. And as I say, he kind of looks at it from a dark side, almost like everything with him is like you're gonna go to hell and damnation. And all of his characters.
You can't say that word even.
Oh, I can't.
No, I'm just kidding.
Which
it's
one?
A religious sense. You're fine. You're fine.
Yeah. But he has this thing about they're all going into a cesspool, and they're all not living up to their. Their religious desire, so to speak. But I would just have to say that...
What were you going to say?
I'm trying to
I don't know.
I
wrap
say.
Us up. Can we wrap up anyway? Okay. Give us some final
wrap
thought.
Up. I was just going to say that all of his characters are so dark, it's like they're going to make it. So he has religion, but then he captures all the characters that are evil and they're not living now. So he's kind of lives in this dichotomous world of good and evil.
I think
you're
right.
And so he sees religion on one side, and you know, all his characters are always in church, and then they're always going out and killing everybody when they're done.
It's almost like he's trying real hard to be something better than he really is, and all his characters are too.
Yeah, it's just
maybe it's his guilt, redemption kind of thing. I don't know. Because there is a redemption theme in a lot of his movies, but his characters don't quite get there ever.
That's
you know what
I'm
mean?
Trying to say. Let me just say one word.
Okay.
Christopher Walken. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, is that your final thought?
Okay. Yeah, we got to get wrapping up and heading out here.
For my final thought,
yes.
First I want to say it's about stinking time he won the Oscar.
Yes.
And second, I think we don't realize how funny Scorsese can be because he doesn't mm-hmm. do a lot of comedies. And can I end with one more clip? Please,
yes.
Number 15. He
yes.
did this public service announcement for the movie theater.
Okay.
For AT&T.
No, he's still up. You want to say goodnight? Here's Daddy.
No, look, the plot of this phone call just isn't working for me. I've seen it a million times, okay?
Excuse me.
He's just got out of prison, okay? He's just got out of prison. That's better. And he's a very dark and mysterious figure in your life. You hardly know him. In fact, you don't even call him Daddy. To you, he's Frank. That's how detached you are, okay? And you're trapped in a loveless marriage. Totally loveless, okay? And you should be drinking something out of a bottle. You have a bottle around?
Downstairs.
Now get it, please.
and then they have text on the screen that says, we don't interrupt your phone calls. Why should your phone calls interrupt our movie or something like
it's
that?
It's very true.
So,
very true.
Oh, that was kind of funny.
Yes.
Okay.
And so my final thoughts on Scorsese, like I said, I'm a fan. I aspire to be a super fan as you are. So my Netflix queue is going to get a workout because I'm going to add all of his movies in chronological order, I decided.
Do it. Do
and
it.
And just have a Scorsese fest
There's
all summer.
There's no better way to spend a couple of days than to watch these movies.
My last word is just that he's the greatest director, and he's made it doesn't matter if
he's
you have
amazing.
A filmology of movies that aren't great, he's made some of the greatest movies.
Well, we always say
screen.
This about Pixar. They could put on the screen on the marquee Pixar movie, you know, and people would just show
oh,
up.
Show
I would show up
quality.
If it said Martin Scorsese's latest movie on the marquee.
And just automatically go.
I would fork out my money. And
he misses it. Sometimes, but generally he's on my top 10 list so many times.
He hasn't missed very often.
No.
Yep, we can let it go. We'll forgive it.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, I'm ready for my makeover.
Okay.
All righty.
Yep, yeah. We'll get out the dye in the nail polish for you.
I'm doing it, though. I didn't tell you. You're not going to have a professional, you know?
Oh, gee.
Yeah, and he's going to do it left-handed. He has to learn how to use his left hand now.
Exactly.
They broke his right hand.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Stein family, everyone who's
hey,
in the studio with us.
Hey, can we have the studio audience clap for us?
Oh, go ahead, studio audience.
Yay. Yeah. Clap and cheer.
Oh, man.
That was weak, you guys. Okay.
Boy.
That's all right. Thank you all so much for being here, and we will be back again next Friday.
This has been a production of Movie Time with Kevin Stein here on Angie's Regular Airship.